London, 1980. A time when punk songs had saxophones.
It's Breaking Glass, and this is Moby Flicks.
Welcome to Moby Flicks. I'm your host, Lizanne.
And I'm Maggie.
And today we're discussing the 1980 film Breaking Glass. We had a special guest scheduled for this episode, but he had to cancel, which makes us sad. But perhaps we can reschedule him in a future episode during the Nick Cage season. And we do hope he feels better soon. However, next episode, if the stars align.
That's right. We have a guest scheduled that we're very excited about. She's an actress and comedian and all-around cool person.
So that's something to look forward to. But back to this episode, Breaking Glass. Starring Hazel O'Connor and Phil Daniels, it's written and directed by Brian Gibson, who also did Poltergeist 2 and the Tina Turner biopic, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Oh, how interesting.
Isn't
it? Two very different.
True. Hazel O'Connor, of course, is a famous punk singer who's also done a bit of acting. And Phil Daniels, of course, is known from Quadrophenia and the Blur song Park Life, among many, many other film roles and television roles. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Anything that I would like to add? I would like to add, Liz, thank you for making me watch this movie because I loved it. That's all.
I'm shocked and amazed because the other films I've made her watch, it's like, it was fun, it was awful, it was okay, she enjoyed it, yeah. And now you watched it twice?
I watched it twice, and I never watch movies twice. I'll take it back. I do watch certain movies twice, but not usually ones that I have not at least heard of before. So that was a pleasure.
Yay!
Thank you.
So the funny thing is, I saw this when I was a very small child. I don't know if my sister was watching it. Kat, if you listen to this, let me know if I'm correct or incorrect on this. I remember it being like USA Up All Night or Night Flight or some show that my sister was watching. And I remember like sneaking up behind the sofa because I was supposed to be asleep and watching it.
How old were you?
Little. I remember being, my sister was probably middle school, so I had to be elementary school.
Gotcha.
I thought it was weird. It was punk, and I still, even at that age, was kind of fascinated with punk and the punk scene and punk rockers, but I didn't know any of the music or bands or anything. I thought it was weird and kind of creepy, and it made me feel very uncomfortable watching it. And so watching it now as an adult, it's really good.
It's a really good movie.
And I guess there's a lot of subtleties that I didn't get and a lot of symbolism I didn't get as a child.
Right.
That as an adult I can appreciate a lot more. And I do. I appreciate it a lot. It was actually a very good film.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has the weird cuts and the weird freeze frames and, you know, the early 80s British film.
Right.
You know, realism. Well, not even realism, because some of it is very fantasy. Like, I was so pleased that not only was it not awful, but it was actually very good.
Yes, and the acting was quite good. I thought, you know, okay, we have a punk rock artist. It's always hit or miss.
It's hit or miss,
anybody that's doing music that also is trying to dabble in acting. She was quite good.
Very good, yeah. She's done other acting roles too, apparently.
Does she? Oh, I'll have to look into it, because that's definitely...
Yeah, in fact, I think it's a shame she hasn't done more, because she was very good.
She was very good, yes. And it was just... But I think it's because also, probably on stage, that all comes out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she was... I mean, as soon as you see her on stage, she's completely just her own person. I mean,
it's very in her element. Yes, exactly.
Super in her element. Oh, which is wonderful.
She reminded me of David Bowie a lot. Like
yes!
Female Bowie.
Oh, yes. That's a lot of, especially if you start watching and then you just see her, just her mannerisms
and her expressions and
the costumes and everything.
But that was her own.
Yes.
It wasn't like she was
completely
copying Bowie.
No, she wouldn't. She doesn't strike me as a person that would, you know?
Right, right.
Until we get,
Yes. You missed a little visual gag there that you go so well on audio.
Yes, very, very well.
Anyway, it was good.
I watched this twice. I took notes the first time and then I scrapped those. And then because there weren't any captions, I'm sorry, but I can't hear very well. So
me neither.
I have to, and Liz just decided, she told me about captions. So I was like, I'm going to do it this next time. I searched for quite a long time until I messaged you and you said, there's no captions. I'm
like, and I think the last one had captions either. Or no, Suburbia didn't have.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I watched
them
one at
night. Actually, no, the last two didn't, I think. Because that's how come you couldn't figure out what was in the truck.
What is this? Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I had no idea what was going on.
I think some of the older, the DVDs that are re-released, they just don't add captions to them, which is a huge pain for me because I really can't hear well.
No. And neither can I. I've discovered this since we just started doing the podcast, mm-hmm. but that I just really can't. I can't hear well. And right. so I need something. So I watched it the first time, and then I turned around and watched it the second time and did a lot of going back. Okay. Just to make sure I caught certain things.
Yeah. I do that too.
Because then I can make sure I did it right. So Liz is happy with me.
Because you know what's
happening. Because I am Liz's co-host. That's right. Yeah. So we start off.
We start off in London.
Yep. Aerial view of London.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I love this opening scene. I just loved it.
On the
underground. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on the tube. Exactly. And just Kate kind of just staring, people watching.
So do we find out her name is Kate at the beginning?
I don't believe so. I think it was more...
like 45 minutes in,
yes.
all of a sudden they say her name. And I was like, oh, because I've been calling her Hazel throughout the whole first part of the movie.
That's yes, if you see my notes, that's when I went back to my second. I'm like, oh, it's Kate and it's Danny. I'm like, I know all these mm-hmm. people, you know. But you know, I had no idea what her name was until... I thought it was Hazel. I thought they just named her Hazel. And then I looked at the back of the movie and, oh, Kate. But no, I don't think they mentioned her name until
because
maybe
even when they met. I don't think they mentioned their names.
No,
either of their names.
She knew because at the office when she went to his office,
mm-hmm.
air quotes office.
Yes, the closet on the way to the massage parlor.
Yes, exactly. I think she called him Danny.
Okay.
There.
Okay, I missed
but
that one.
I don't know if he called her Kate.
Okay.
I don't.
Because I honestly don't recall until the guys from the record company were going Kate. That's gotcha. The only time I remember. I was like, oh, her name's Kate. Right. I actually didn't put it in my notes.
Yeah, maybe Ken says it, but he's so quiet.
That's true.
Ken is also deaf.
Ken is deaf, yes. But he plays saxophone really well.
Brilliant saxophone.
Again, this is the days when
saxophones
were part of punk rock culture. Oh. There's a Fear song that says, New York's all right if you like saxophones. Oh. And then I kept thinking about it the whole time. Yeah.
So go ahead.
So... Hazel O'Connor, mm-hmm. our hero Kate,
mm-hmm.
heroine Kate, hair fried from bleach, rocks with the train's movement as she slips stickers from her bag. She kind of sees if anyone's paying attention to her and starts slapping them on the walls of the train carriage.
Mm-hmm. As the song, Have You Seen the Writing on the Wall, comes up kind of behind her.
Mm-hmm. And the only time in the whole film that this happens, she starts singing along with it like it's a musical.
Yes.
At no other point in this whole movie. I mean, she sings in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's always very realistic. She's at the studio. She's on stage. She's at the anti-racist rally.
Yep.
This is the only time that it kind of dips over into fantasy, really.
Right. You could definitely say that it was more of a fantasy. It was just like it was our introduction to her mm-hmm. by so much, just basically showing her already her charisma. Mm-hmm. Already her, just her true self, you mm-hmm. know, truly. That's the way I felt.
And always already confident.
Already confident, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the writing on the wall, and then she spray paints on the wall. I like
yes.
that. Yes.
Yes.
That was quite nice. And then heading to Cock Foster's.
What was it?
It was when it was heading out. Mm-hmm. So on the back of the tube,
mm-hmm.
it said, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Cock Foster's.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. And that's heading to it. And so I looked it up,
because mm-hmm.
I've never been to London, and mm-hmm. it's a suburb.
Okay.
Of London, so I was...
This is a fun name.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I'm assuming that's just what they call it. It's one of them, but... And I'm assuming she's heading out to promote.
Right.
Yes.
Putting her flyers up.
Exactly.
But during the credits, Dodi Fayed, who is the... he was the millionaire, billionaire, who was with Princess Diana.
Oh,
dating Princess Diana when they...
When they both died.
He produced this film.
Did he really?
He did. I didn't realize he was a film producer, too.
Oh. Well.
So that's interesting.
That was very sad when she died.
And then Hazel did write and perform all the songs.
I would have, yeah, she was, that's just brilliant. I mean, just on all facets, mm-hmm. it seemed.
Very talented.
Very odd, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Just odd, you know,
but
wonderful.
Very comfortable within herself.
Exactly. The way that ever, you know, that you'd want to be. I was telling my daughter wanted to watch with me, and I was like, well... I'll watch it first, but I almost feel comfortable with her just because of how comfortable she is
mm-hmm.
and how she does exactly. I mean, might be a little bit scary, but she is so comfortable with herself.
Yes.
So it's kind of the way I would want, you know, the comfortness of yourself.
With it being comfortable in your own skin.
Exactly. In your own, that's exactly right. going on. We go to the audience of a concert.
Yes.
And we first see Danny.
Danny's at the concert and he tries to cage his way backstage after the show.
And he gets kicked out and then sneaks back into the after party. Through a bathroom window. That's right. He's trying so hard to break into this business. And did you catch who made a little cameo?
No, I did not.
Paul McCartney.
Was that Paul McCartney? Was it supposed to be look like Paul McCartney?
When I looked at it, mm-hmm. so when I was watching it and I went back and then I started looking and it's an unconfirmed Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Is what they call it. So it could have been a lookalike.
To me, I thought it was a lookalike.
But then as soon as they did a close-up of him, mm-hmm. like drinking something, it mm-hmm. looked just like him.
Okay.
But I just went to look it up and I'm like, I wonder if he really, and it just, at the very
end. It did look like him.
Unconfirmed Paul McCartney. Mm. But it did look quite like him. Yes.
It did. So disco's playing and Danny weaves his way through the after party and the security guard from earlier recognizes him and chases him down mm-hmm. through the party and throws him out.
And it turns out to be a good place to get thrown out at.
Because that's where he meets
Kate.
Yes, putting up flyers.
Posters, yeah. And doing her own promotion. And kind of it's that little pseudo thing that she's doing her own promotion and that's exactly what he wants to do for her. So it's kind of everything coming together.
But she's very DIY.
Oh, very, very, very. Yeah, she's an independent woman. Mm-hmm. Just very independent.
He asks her about her music mm-hmm. and dares her to sing a bit of a song. And I couldn't tell if this was supposed to be a freestyle or if it was actually something she had written previously.
Right.
It came across as a freestyle.
Exactly. It right about just about him. Mm-hmm. Exactly about him. And then what he asked her before that was, what do you do then, punk and the new wave? And she said, piss off. It's inspired by punk. It's better than punk.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and that was, and then she, and it was so just fresh.
Yes.
You know, just like they said, just everything is just so fresh with her. Mm-hmm. So she sings a song to Danny and then, inspired by punk. Punks really don't get her. I know that she said that during it too. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, he sees dollar signs and says that he'll be at that gig.
Yeah,
he will be. That she's putting up the posters for.
Mm-hmm. So then she has her gig and she has to, I mean, it's fine. You can just tell with her band, it's all about her.
Right.
I mean, which is exactly how it should be. She's the talent. She's the this. I mean, she has everybody behind her, mm-hmm. but you can tell nothing really meshes. The band
That's
behind
true.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
But
the drummer's like knocking his kid over and stuff.
Exactly. And so she just, you know, she, I think in it, part in her brain, probably wants mm-hmm. something, you know, wants something more obviously because mm-hmm. she's promoting herself and whatnot, but doesn't probably know how to go about doing it.
Well, Phil fights his way through the crowd in the gig
mm-hmm.
and she's not bad and she takes all the crap that the audience dishes at
her. Yes. Yeah.
Even though it's obviously very disheartening to her. Yeah.
Yeah. She really does not like, you can see just her expressions about everything. You can, mm-hmm. she wears her emotions on her sleeve.
Well, to a point.
To a point.
Because she does have that wall up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the audience is throwing things at her. Mm-hmm. She's ignoring them. She's just going through with her stuff.
Like the chicken wire from the Blues Brothers.
That's true. Mm. We play both country and western. Yeah. So Phil gives her his card and says mm-hmm. that he'll be her manager. And she says she doesn't want a manager.
Right.
She doesn't. She's doing fine on her own.
Right.
Then she walks up the stairs to leave.
And she,
and this guy in a specials t-shirt starts grabbing mm-hmm. her, saying he'll be her groupie and everything. And she basically has to, like, kick the crap out of him just to get away
right.
from him.
Yeah.
And when she gets home, she finally lets the guard down. And that's when she gets upset and lashes out mm-hmm. because, you know, you never let him see you cry. You never let him see that they hurt you.
But I did love when she gets home, she waters her plants. Very normal thing. She mm-hmm. just very, you know, goes about her day. It just seems so... putting the two worlds, you know, kind of coming together and whatnot. And then with the drum set in, you know, then she decides to go unleash her rage on the drum set.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like you said, it's never let them see you cry.
Mm-hmm. So the next morning, mm-hmm. there's disco playing on the radio.
So that's the first, I definitely wrote down this. So the first time, that's the first time we hear the radio DJ.
Yes.
So that's the first time and you go, it's a land, you know, just over the aerial view of London again and playing a popular song. I think it's by Susie.
Sapphire, yeah.
And then, yes, the phone wakes
rings.
Up Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And what ad?
Someone put an ad out in her name for musicians.
Yep.
And then a bassist shows up for her door to audition for her.
Yep, I did notice. He's like, do you know Danny? She's like, yeah, I know Danny. He goes, yeah. About auditioning, and then he said it's my 63rd audition.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember that. In other words, he's not that great, but he's the first one there.
But he's the first one there.
Always make sure he's the first one there.
Exactly.
So she goes by Danny's office.
Mm-hmm. And then I really thought, I had to keep rewinding this just to figure out if I knew exactly what they were talking about. But he's got all these records laying around. Right, right. And he's got all these records, and she's like, oh, you're, you know, he's talking about being Susie's promotion, you know, promotion guy. And, my, and she's like, I don't get it. You have, these have all been bought retail from different shops. What are you up to? Well, he fixes the charts.
Right.
So he buys them from different shops, and then the ratings go up, and the record company has put him up to this.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never got that guy's name.
I did not either. Okay. But we find out later that it's kind of on the down low.
Right. No, totally on the down low.
I mean, it's they want to stack they want to game the system, but they're trying to be very, very subtle about it. And that luckily that gives Danny an in to kind of twist the screw a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. So I thought that was, very, you know, kind of your first interaction between manager and talent.
True. But we also see, and is it Hazel? We'll see Kate's day job.
Oh, yes.
She pumps gas.
And were they probably going through a gas...
It sounded like a gas shortage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just, I love that. Regular customers only.
Right. It's like I've been waiting for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Regular customers only.
Right.
But then the thing is, the guy's getting madder at them. And they, it's just like, meh. And she and her buddy just keep chatting away. Yeah. Like, they don't even, it doesn't even faze them.
It didn't. No, honking the horn. They just sat there and talked about... You know, basically ditching the band that she's in. And
right, going with different... Because Danny wants to go with new musicians.
Exactly.
Oh, and so back at the auditions, she goes through all these crazies, one of which was Rat Scabies, the drummer for The Damned, though he was playing, I believe, bass in the auditions.
Was it the one that was playing the bass?
The redheaded guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, kind of jumping around. Yep. And that's Rat Scabies from The Damned. He's the drummer. And then Jonathan Pryce from Game of Thrones, the Grand Poobah of the Sparrows.
Oh, yeah. The High Sparrow. That's himself.
He shows up, and he is a deaf saxophonist.
He is. Yeah, he's brilliant.
Who might have a little bit of a recreational problem with certain substances.
And he did have that that air about him, you know, the way they made him look and everything like that. But then we do find out later that
he does.
I loved the... after he leaves, after they kind of decide, wow, he's, you know, in the band, you know, Danny and Kate do, he must be at least 30. And Kate's all, that's old. 30. And I just thought, oh, that's
nice. I remember when 30 was old.
30 was, I don't know.
I miss 30. And this is back when punks had saxophones.
That's right.
And Danny knows a bass and player and guitarist.
Yeah. That apparently hang out together, live together, and are always together.
But they're sellouts.
They're total sellouts.
And they try to take over, and they're going to help Kate with her lyrics.
Exactly.
And
maybe
stuff.
I can give you a hand. So they...
She doesn't want them, but Danny says, no, they'll be really good. No, we should take... Throughout this whole thing, Kate says no, Danny says yes.
Right.
And then she ends up going along with Danny. Even though she says, I don't want a manager, I'm going to be your manager. Right. I don't want these two guys in the band. Hey, look, they're in the band.
Right.
Like, throughout the whole thing, she continually says, no, this is not... how I want to have my my art, my music.
Yeah, and then she goes along. And that might be because she's got a little thing for Danny.
Maybe, but she seemed like she was kind of flirting with the guitarist at one point. And in fact, Danny started getting jealous.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
And that's another thing about her. She seems very... She likes Danny.
Yeah.
But she's still her own person.
Yeah, yep.
You know, she's fine being on her own.
And then so they've agreed on the guitarist...
And bass player,
And they agree on Mick.
Yes.
The drummer. He's funny. He makes me laugh. And that's her ex-boyfriend.
Is that her ex-boyfriend?
Yes. Yeah. So if you didn't catch, so the drum set at her house that she kicks is Mick's.
Realize that.
So, and then they somehow in the middle of it, Danny asks, and she said, how did you know that was my ex-boyfriend? She's like, I could just tell. Or the drum set, I think is what he...
Alluded
to. So then he got it back once they became in the band together.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Well, so the first gig.
At the pub.
Yep.
Salty Nicer Vineyard.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, half the audience turns out to be Nazi punks. Or punk. Yeah, Nazi punks.
They definitely do. And that's where... Is that... That's not where she first plays the black man.
No, she hasn't that's started even written. Yeah. She has to see it. Yeah, it was spray painted on the wall.
Yep. So I have... It's more upscale. Usually don't have a punk crowd. Kind of the thought of it, because the owner's just not knowing how to deal with it at all.
And the one punk starts tearing up the decor and he gets tossed out. After the gig, the frou-frou musicians complain about the venue. Mm-hmm. Makes Victor kind of higher quality.
Right. I know. What? Yeah, if he's going to be our manager, he needs to learn how to write, you know, do the soundboard and whatnot. But
oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Ugh, those guys.
Yeah, they were very, yeah, they're very paid musicians, yes. I guess you could call them.
And then the pub owner
missionary musicians. Oh, sorry.
And then the pub owner even stiffs them on the payment for the gig.
Maybe next time. Ugh. So Kate takes Danny home.
Yes.
Yeah. She takes him home. And they finally have that real conversation about they're not talking the same language. Mm-hmm. I don't want a record deal.
That's another thing. She doesn't want a record contract.
She does not want it. She is, and she's very clear about this throughout the entire movie. And how can you hear someone but not listen? Mm-hmm. That's what she kept saying to him. Mm-hmm. So she's, I mean, Kate believes in what she says and what she sings about. No idea what that says.
Well, so after she drops him off, she almost, basically she walks him to the elevators and tries to get her to come up.
Oh, yeah,
she come up. Right. And she's like, no, it's okay, I'm good. And he's like, I have cookies.
Yeah.
Like, trying to entice. That's really gonna seal the deal.
That's right. And then that's where she first sees black men.
Yes, spray paint on the wall.
And so that's where I kind of, when we were talking about her first encounter with Danny and if it was freestyle, mm-hmm. I feel like it definitely could have been mm-hmm. because she seems to be more of a situational like singer. So where mm-hmm. almost musical-esque, you know.
But she's very influenced by the things she sees. Exactly.
So she sees it and she just can sing about it. And it seems like she can just do it, like you said, just on command. Mm-hmm. So then we get to that second point. So the nights, so it's kind of going in day, night. And so after that, the next morning, you hear the second time you hear the radio DJ mm-hmm. and again, playing Susie. Mm-hmm.
And she's up to number 11 on the charts and climbing.
That's right, climbing. He's doing really, really well at getting those. Because then you pan to see Danny bringing, I'm just going to call him the guy at the record
label. Overlord Records.
Overlord Records, correct.
And his contact at the company is horrified when he shows up because he's not supposed to be in contact with them apart from, you know, getting paid to buy all these records. And then, we finally find out that the band's name is now Breaking Glass.
Yeah, because that's when he said, I have a new band, Breaking Glass. Mm-hmm. So we come out of the first recording.
And Harry Potter's uncle is producing the band single.
Yes, he is. He is producing the band, and he's quite good at it. You see a lot of him, a lot of stomach and everything like that.
And smoking.
The smoking. Yeah. And so you see, you know, Mick has tape on his headphones.
Yes, because they keep falling off.
Exactly. And then...
because it's such a rundown,
same with
cheap studio. Right.
And then Ken's earphones fall off, and he puts them like a mask on him.
Doesn't Kate say, I don't want to make a single?
Oh, I don't know. Did she?
I know she doesn't want to make a record.
Right. Yeah. I think you have,
No, she's very anti.
Yeah, anti-everything. Like, so she doesn't want
you to come to the show. See them.
She wants
live.
Organic. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, taking it home and listening to it.
Mm-hmm. But then they have all these suggestions for Harry Potter's uncle.
Yes, and he's going bonkers because it's just, no, the drums need to be louder. No, the bass needs to be louder.
And I don't want to sound like that.
And they keep messing with his board.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, board, yes.
And then he throws his hands up, and then they get exactly how they want it.
Because they did something. They punked it up.
Yes, they did. DIY.
That's right. Yeah. Well, they don't need Harry Potter's uncle.
Yep.
They were just fine.
Yes.
Oh, they go in to try to help getting gigs from those two fellows.
Oh, yeah. It's who like are a those?
What
booking,
is that?
It's a booking company?
I
didn't know because I thought it was a record company at first.
Yeah.
But it's not just for like booking gigs.
Yeah, just booking
gigs.
But they
have to sign away all these rights for like 2 years or that's something crazy.
To me, that's just odd. And then there's just huge long lines waiting to get in to be able to even talk to these two guys who aren't even listening. They're just on the phone anyway. So, but they need help getting gigs, better gigs than what they were getting.
Right. And they do get better gigs.
Yeah, they do. They go back to their first venue though. And the Nazis are back again. And that's where, and the owner's upset about this. So, but that's where she sings.
But also you see the police.
Yes.
And the police are hassling people in the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that kind of reinforces the idea that she needs to sing about the inequality between blacks and whites, not to mention the Nazis.
Yeah, and she just felt like that was a time to bring, you know, to basically unleash this song.
Yes. It's very topical, very political. She's very political.
Very political.
They begin to get popular, and the crowds get bigger.
Yeah, they really, really do. Yeah, every time they go and play, it gets bigger. Word of mouth. Just lots of word of mouth and whatnot.
And also, she originally, towards the beginning of the movie, talked about doing like a robot thing on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so this starts to become part of the stage show. She starts to do it, and actually the rest of the band starts to do it too.
So, and this is, so you mentioned the police coming. So this kind of is the beginning of them getting harassed and comes to the point of their montage of, you know.
They get harassed. They see some black guys getting harassed. And it just keeps building and building. And I think the song's playing overhead, over.
Yeah, there's a song. I don't remember what it is, though.
I thought it was the black man song.
Oh, it's about, is it, it probably the, I thought the it whole was. Thing. Okay. And then the police come just directly to Tony and Dave's. When they're the guitarist and the bassist, the police come to them and they want names and addresses and everything for, I mean, I don't know, was it a noise complaint or why were they even there? They just came and they have a large file on Mick.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. So, so not surprised.
And they think he stole his drums, but he's all
touch.
Exactly. And so they think he stole his drums and he just said, no, you need to go talk with the owner of the music store because he bought them and he said that if I get harassed, you go talk to the owner of the music store. So, and they didn't do much. I mean, but then you have your montage of police harassment. Yeah. And then they need to get gigs out of town. That's what they want to do.
Okay.
Just to get away from them. So.
So they do. And then they have a good gig. It's a pretty good gig. And it's Christmas and they have to rush back to get the last train.
Yep. They do. So they're running to the Christmas train. Oh, and then who do you see? You see Bridget Jones's father.
Yes.
That's who you see.
Yes. I believe he's in Harry Potter too.
I believe he's in Harry Potter as well. Yes. I couldn't.
There's a strike going on. They have strikes all the time.
Yes. Oh, but this is okay. So this is odd. This is super odd. But I couldn't. So they're at their concert, and they have to leave. But I couldn't stop thinking about Beetlejuice because her outfit with the stripes and the face and then the eye makeup.
Yes.
And it just was like Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And I was, okay, the chicken and the egg. So this is obviously Beetlejuice channeling Hazel O'Connor. But it was very odd because it was so, I mean, it was Beetlejuice. And then she was wearing it the whole time. And I couldn't help but also think, God, how bad she must probably smell.
Sweating.
Because she, so, yeah, and she's still wearing it. You know?
Right.
So, but that's just, yeah.
That's too funny.
But I have channeling inner Beetlejuice, but I think it was more like other way around. But yes, running to the train, Christmas Eve.
Yes.
They're on strike. They're always on strike.
Yeah, so it's not supposed to go anywhere.
But then it goes.
And there's other people on board. There's nuns on board.
That seemed a little more far-fetched. I mean, I wouldn't say far-fetched, but like you were saying.
It was very odd, though.
Yeah. It's like they put just something into it. And so, yeah, they came across the nuns on their way to be
And of course, Mick has to make a lewd suggestion because he's still punk rock.
He's super punk rock. In this,
actually, he really is the most punk rock out of all of them besides Hazel.
Yeah.
So I can totally see how he's the ex-boyfriend because I can see them being together.
So, and then, of course, Danny succeeding finally in his quest of Kate.
Well, so they share a berth and it's really cold. And so he invites her, you know, he's on the top bunk.
In her stinky outfit.
In her stinky outfit.
God, I couldn't get over it. Stinky. I mean, it's just, it must have.
Well, the thing is, they were kissing and talking and kissing, but honestly, it wasn't like, you know, the Nicolas Cage, Deborah Foreman kind of chemistry is more like they actually like each other, but as friends.
Right. That's true.
It's very
friendly
kissing because it wasn't like.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't sexy kissing.
No. It was definitely like.
Oh, here's a kiss. And here's another kiss.
Yeah.
I'll kiss you on the nose. And here's another kiss. And but they generally seem to like each other.
Yeah. And it will not ruin our professional relationship.
Right.
That's what Danny kept telling her.
But it really did not seem like it was. I mean, I know in the context of the story it is supposed to be a romantic relationship, but I just didn't feel that way. Felt like more like a friendly friendship kind of thing.
I would have to say too. So then we go to, you know, get out of there and we go to Kate's house and I'm assuming they're at Kate's house recording.
And this is the thing, it turns out that they don't have a record despite having a recording session, so that kind of confused me. So I guess it was just for a single.
It probably,
and this is where we find out, or I found out personally, that Phil Daniels' character's name is Danny, 47 minutes into the film. Because back into the day job, Danny brings in more Susie Sapphire records and basically tells his connection at the record company over Lord Records that he's going to check out Breaking Glass or else. And he just keeps tossing the...
Right.
And it's coming out of all these places.
And that's all these... Exactly. All these records that are just coming at you.
Yeah.
And he's got to put them away in his... Wherever he can.
In his desk and things like that.
So I have that... before that, he goes... When he's at Kate's house recording, Danny says to Tony, you know, your guitar's out of tune because they have to stop and whatnot. And then Dave starts talking about record contract. Of course. You know. And Kate says no. And Dave says, I'm not doing this for fun, you know.
Because they're sellouts.
Exactly. And she says, sign a record contract, become part of the machine. And that was 100%. Then that was like, that was the movie for me mm-hmm. right there. Because mm-hmm. it is true. Mm-hmm. And as we will see.
Yep.
So yeah, Danny goes to a record studio and gets it gets to his contact to show, mm-hmm. essentially. So now they're at that larger venue. This yes. scene, this, I loved this song. I could not get out of my head.
The guys from the record company yeah. were, I mean, I know they're probably, you know, acting, mm-hmm. right. but they were so cooked up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So oh, yeah.
You practically hear the teeth grinding. Yeah. You
know? I kept thinking that, so they start to sing and whatnot. They're on stage and the lights go out.
Yes.
So the lights go out and of course everyone's so pissed off because it's everybody else's fault that the lights are out. And right, like, it's just a blackout. Danny's on stage with flashlight. It's just a blackout. Just wait for him to come back mm-hmm. on. And
he's losing the crowd.
Oh, he's totally
They're losing the guys from the record company. Uh-huh. Everyone's getting really fed up.
And they all have their lighters out mm-hmm. and it was cracking me up because I'm like, well, somebody's hair has got to catch on fire here.
Especially
the hairspray. I know. That's what I kept saying. I kept like thinking about this. It's got to happen at some point. And then right. they kept lighting big things on fire and dropping them from the front. I'm like, yeah, who is going to catch on fire? Yeah. Yeah, that's the mom in me. Yes. Who is going to catch on fire? So
I'm sure all the polyester too doesn't help.
Oh, I know. Exactly. And then Kate and the band go off stage mm-hmm. and come back and the guitarists have their acoustics.
Right.
So they come back and...
Well, Mick starts doing fire breathing. Right.
Fire breathing and the fart
lighting.
Lighting.
Which I don't know how he did that through his pants without setting something on fire.
I've seen it, man.
Wow.
Yeah. In high school, I don't remember who it was, but I walked down the hall and they were doing it. It was in corduroy. It wasn't in jean though.
Oh, jeez. So that's even worse.
I know. It's totally corduroy because it was grunge, man.
At least get singed.
I know. No. I think he did it far enough away.
Wow.
I know. It was crazy.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nuts. But where are we?
So he starts to sing by flashlight, yeah. Punctuated by Mick's fireballs.
Right. Yep. Yeah, in the background. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
the audience loves it. They start really getting into it. The coked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm feeling it.
Really
yeah.
getting into it.
Well,
yeah.
And that's where I wonder, and exactly like you said uh-huh. before, because it's so organic. It's so, did she write it right then? Because mm-hmm. we haven't heard that song yet. And so it's did she write it right then? Because do we need it? You know, I need it like a hole in the head. Do we need electricity? Do we mm-hmm. need this? Or, I mean, it just seems every situation she has. A song for everything. She has a song right. for every situation, which is her situational, like singing and whatnot.
Right, right.
And yeah, record producer. I called him record producer in his lemming.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
I couldn't because he just was like right there following him and whatnot. This is something I wrote down. For a movement that prides itself on individuality, during the scene, they sure were followers.
Oh,
because
yeah.
they were just, every one of them, no matter what. So you had... one starts yelling, so all of them start yelling. Mm-hmm. They're all super upset. Then you have, once they start liking it, then they all start chanting along with mm-hmm. it and just seem very, you know, not so punk. But I guess it is. Is it more of a follower movement?
No, I mean, the joke was, I'm an individual just like all my friends.
Ah, yes. Yeah, so that's right.
You know, I mean,
not
you were punk and you were such an individual, but you still wore the same clothes as your friends. Right. You did your hair yep. the same way as your friends or dyed it the same color yep. as your friends.
That makes, yeah, that's, that makes much more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have very many friends. So Saul was just, yeah. So, dang it, they made it to a record company.
They did. And then they're trying to woo Kate, but at the same time, they keep stepping on her toes constantly. Mm-hmm. So what are your beliefs? So on this one song where you have, you know, vulgar lyrics, can you think of maybe you kick them in the nose, nose?
And it was that at the end of it. Sorry.
Not there
sorry,
yet.
Sorry. You can cut that. So Chris, because I figured out his name is Chris. The lemming's name is Chris.
Oh, see, I didn't figure that out ever.
I don't even know how I figured it out. Probably Google.
Okay.
Google let me know. And anyway, they ask Kate, you know, he asks Kate, what's anarchy? It's against government and for self-expression. So, and then it gives leeway into the record company beginning their, trying to conform Kate. With the nose.
Yes. And she scoffs.
Punch him in the nose, in the nose, in the nose.
And she scoffs.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, like I'm going to change my lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they're...
And all of them were kind of like that. It wasn't just her. I mean, well, I guess the two guitarists that mm-hmm. are sellouts. The other three, too. I mean, Ken was the same way, mm-hmm. and so was Mick.
And when it seems like things aren't going to work out, Danny starts tossing the records again.
Yep.
The comedic timing. I mean, Phil Daniels really is a gem.
He really did well.
Yeah.
So then they want her to go to the anti-fascist... Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Ken excuses himself from the room.
Yes,
he's not feeling very well.
Oh, yeah. He's probably, you know, a little sick.
Yeah, he's getting a little dope sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they do want him... They want her to go to this rally and that rally and the anti-fascist
but
rally.
But it has to be Rock Against 1984. So, I know this started in 1980, mm-hmm. but does it progress faster? I mean, is it... Are we years?
I don't know for years, but we're definitely... It's definitely like a year.
Because I just wonder with them giving up their... record rights or mm-hmm. whatever it is for 2 years mm-hmm. if they passed that, you know, because now that they're on a record label.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the passage of time was kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. I knew that they went through Christmas and they had a good year mm-hmm. when they were in the train, mm-hmm. but then I don't know after that.
Right.
So they went to the recording studio
mm-hmm. now. The very nice, proper,
beautiful
one.
Recording mm-hmm. studio. So I like this comment. So the head honcho, I forgot, the bald guy that in the nose, him. So he gets a headache from all the, no, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was the other guy. It was the guy that Danny throws records at. But he's talking about how he gets a headache with all the new wave music.
Oh, how funny. Yep. They just signed her and supposedly they just love her.
Exactly. But no, they get headaches and they're all their equipment works.
And the company men don't want Danny around anymore.
No. They do not.
They're starting to think of ways to kind of push him out.
Exactly.
So they can control Kate.
Yep. That's exactly right. So then you get the third aerial view of London.
In the morning.
In the morning, yep. And the radio DJ comes on and they're playing
Breaking Glass. Yes.
So the progression. The mm-hmm. progression has come. We've kind of come almost, well, we haven't hit full circle yet, but we're
getting
there.
Yeah. We're definitely on the rise.
Yep. And then we find ourselves at the rally.
Mm-hmm. The anti-fascist rally. Yep.
And where they really want to have Breaking Glass on the side of their little float type of thing.
Just
but
the back
they have,
of a truck. A
exactly.
Flatbed.
But an overlord, but they have to have overlord records.
So they're getting mad. They're saying, take it down. And while they're saying that.
Yep. The Nazis.
The Nazi punks show up.
Oh, and there's lots of them.
Oh, yes. It's a like a counter-protest.
Yeah. And they come fast, and so then she, you know, Kate immediately goes on the defense, and she's like, black man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so she gets on there, and she
starts mimicking them and making fun of them.
Exactly, yep. And then she starts, so Kate, let's do the black man, really riles up the white supremacists. Yes. They start really coming at her, and then a riot breaks out.
Yeah, and then both sides are coming at mm-hmm. and from
everywhere.
Yes,
yeah.
And the people are trying to get on the truck, the flatbed mm-hmm. that they're on. The other band members are getting really scared, but she's not scared.
No.
She's leaning down into them.
And they're scared. They're watching her and mm-hmm. being scared. They're just, and Ken's face, I mean, he's just like, oh my God. And then Danny's trying to pull her back mm-hmm. to keep her safe.
Right.
More so. And she's just pushing him away. And then she starts yelling, kill them, kill them, kill them.
And
what
then
happens?
A boy, but she doesn't realize at first. Mm-mm. He's been stabbed and he's climbing up on the truck to try to get away.
Exactly.
And he's screaming and screaming and she gets in his face and screaming and screaming. And it takes a moment for her to mm-hmm. notice that there's blood on his shirt.
Right.
And that he's screaming because he's in pain.
Yeah.
And then she kind of flips out and screams.
Oh, she flips out. Yeah.
And that's the picture that's on the newspaper the next day.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a picture of the nice kid. Was he part of the white supremacist group? Or was he part
tell.
Of the... Yeah. I don't think
tell.
They didn't really...
They
said he was a boy.
Murdered,
yeah.
Boy stabbed.
So I don't think it was... I don't think it needed to be for either one. Mm-hmm. It just needed to be a boy. Type
oh,
of
the guitarist's name's Tony. You find that out.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Finally found out. So they...
So Kate hits a breaking point.
Yes. And she's... And this is when I found out her name is actually Kate.
Yeah.
And now we're into the movie.
So the record producers, they just can't control her anymore. So then they need to have somebody else produce her.
Yes.
Is that what the whole...
Woods. But at the same
Woods?
Time, she... Well, yes. Yes. They need Woods and they're still trying to push Danny out. So they're trying to plan a replacement that will mm-hmm. work with them. And that's this very...
Because they don't want to deal with her anymore. Is that why? Or I don't... That's where I didn't get it. They were so...
It's
or did they need
wanna,
something bigger?
They needed... Danny was too big of an influence. They need to find someone else to replace Danny as
so
an influence
doing both.
On her.
Okay.
So that way, and it's not that they don't, they definitely see her as a commodity.
Yeah.
And they definitely want to keep that commodity. Right. But Danny is basically a stumbling block or a roadblock mm-hmm. on their way to completely commercializing her.
Yeah.
So even that's what he wants. He right. wants it to be commercialized as well. Right. Just the way he wants it, not the way they right. want it. So she goes to meet with...
Bob Woods.
Woods, yeah. Mm-hmm. And back in the recording studio.
Yeah.
And she has this new song. That's all right. about right. the kid that was stabbed. Mm-hmm. This beautiful, slow song, mm-hmm. but there's no saxophone.
Right.
And Ken's so like, what am I doing here? And so Ken finally gets mad and he just leaves. He's like, I'm leaving. There's nothing for me to do.
Right.
But the thing is, they're recording. And I know it is a recording studio. Mm-hmm. But she's like singing into the mic and he comes around the side mm-hmm. and he's like yelling at her, Kate, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that not getting picked up on the
right,
mic?
Right.
How are they not yelling down at him?
To stop.
But maybe don't yell right. at the mic when she's trying to sing because mm-hmm. he can obviously see that she's trying to sing.
Right.
That was very odd to me that no one called him on that mm-hmm. or she didn't turn and say, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying to sing.
And then they were talking about the video. Well, we're going to do this one as a video.
It was almost like no one actually heard him. And he's on his death.
That was after Bob Woods, right? That was after...
No, that was just before, wasn't okay. it?
Okay. Well, I don't remember because I'm trying to see.
I can't remember either.
Because I think he was sitting at the... Because it was a slow song, correct?
Right.
It's a slow song. Because she introduced that song...
No, you're right.
She introduced that song at his place when Tony was playing the song. And that's where she introduced that very slow, sultry, yes. very beautiful song. Yes. Just sad.
Yes.
So sad. And this is where you kind of get it because he's watching her and you see he's just seeing her as a single entity.
Yes.
Not as a group. I mean, there's no group to him. Bob
and
sees her.
He sees her and he totally recognizes the talent immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
that's
she's
exactly
the
right.
talent.
Yeah.
She is.
So where did we, Bob, yep, he sees her as an entity. Oh, and then we go into the recording studio.
Right.
Because they were talking about after they want to do a video of that song. And Danny said, there's no sax. We can't do a video of this song. There's no sax. Because right. he wants everybody in the video.
Right, right.
But they don't care what he thinks.
Yeah, and they don't care about Ken not being there either.
What's a sax got to do with it?
Right. And so here's another thing. The entire movie, up to this point, mm-hmm. Kate has this frizzy, unmanageable, totally fried out hair.
Yeah.
And she's raw and her hair is crazy. And so they start shooting the video.
Yeah, and then she's all...
Smoothed out,
yeah. And there's another, that's exactly what, at Kate's house, mm-hmm. you see her next to her old picture.
Oh, I have that a little bit further back.
Mm-hmm.
So after the video shoot, mm-hmm. she's home, she still has the smoothed out hair, yeah. and she's wearing very colorful clothes.
Yeah, right.
And so she and Danny are fighting, and she leans back against the wall where mm-hmm. there's this old picture of her, and it's in black and white of her.
Right.
And she says... Yeah. Everything's not black and white.
Oh, I didn't.
As she
that.
Stands by a picture of herself in black and white.
Oh,
where so it used to be black and white to her. There used to be good and bad to
right.
her.
Now it's just.
But now things are getting all muddled up.
In gray.
Mm-hmm.
But colorful, in a colorful
yes.
gray.
Yes. So then the company man tries to turn the band against Danny.
Yeah, exactly. On the tour bus, mm-hmm. and then that's where the first time you really see. Well, you do kind of at the video mm-hmm. see where Woods is trying to, you know, basically influence mm-hmm. Kate more and being more of her number one person, mm-hmm. and then you see Danny getting jealous and putting the coat like we need to get your coat,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's cover her up and everything. Like, even though she wasn't wearing anything, but that's just the idea. And then you have
on the bus, yeah. Danny's physically sitting. Totally
away from everybody,
the...
and you hear her with Woods,
mm-hmm.
and just laughing and carrying on, and they're just really close and this and that. So he's losing his grip.
Mm-hmm.
He is completely losing his grip, and he's gone.
Well, Danny's fretting about money, mm-hmm. and
one
of the company men says, "Oh, you really need to keep a tight rein on that,
right?
You know, and that's keep him in their place,
yeah,
because he's trying to drive the wedge,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time." They're telling the band, oh, you know, Danny's not looking out for you the way that you mm-hmm. should. Don't you guys
how
need
much
new...
Money? Yeah.
How much money are you getting? Don't you need new instruments? Don't you need new gear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's just doing... He's playing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Playing both sides. And then... So on the bus, Danny is talking mm-hmm. and whatnot. And he's just going to leave. I'm going to resign.
Yes. In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
And it makes him pull the bus over.
And then Kate's face, that's where it was more. You can see it certain places that, like when she's not on stage, mm-hmm. she definitely can, you know, show her emotion and whatnot.
Yeah.
And she mm-hmm. just was, Danny, don't go. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he takes off. It pans to Danny at Kate's house,
mm-hmm.
getting all his stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it all. So I just have right after Danny leaves is when like Kate starts becoming part of the machine. Yes. It just starts very mm-hmm. much like becoming like she, like Danny was part, not really part of her, but having him there helped. I don't know how to put it. So he helped her
express herself more, or be able to be herself.
Yeah. And it made her in a comfortable situation where she could be herself at any time because he's there watching.
Even though he was pushing her to become part of the machine because mm-hmm. it was his dream, not hers.
Right. That's very true. Yeah. But I don't know. It seemed like as soon as he was gone, it was like pieces were getting taken away mm-hmm. of her, because as soon as he left, then
Ken leaves.
Well, and I saw that. That was so. Then all of a sudden, we see Ken actually in his light in the back of the van about mm-hmm. the dope sick yes. and whatnot. And you realize, okay, Danny. Now that Danny's gone, he can do that. Mm-hmm. It out in the open and whatnot. Right, seemed like that.
But
way.
Kate started taking pills too.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So and, she was self-medicating as well.
And so then Ken leaves. Mick leaves.
Ken doesn't leave. Yeah. Yet they have some kind of party, and there's these two weird creepy guys that are crawling all over them.
Oh, yeah. Those
are creepy.
Yeah, those are super creepy. Oh, they kept pulling her back in.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And then Ken's getting sicker and sicker, and he's like, where's my stuff? And he's looking for it. And the two salad guys are giggling.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking it's hilarious. They hid his dope.
Yeah. And then she's just pissed off about it. Yeah.
You give us stuff. And so Ken's like, forget this, I'm out.
Right.
And he quits.
And then they, she's like, he's part of this group. Mm-hmm. He's part of this group. And he was original with her, so it's for anybody else. Yeah. So then he's, Yeah, so Mick, because Mick leaves first. Doesn't Mick leave first? Who leaves first?
I have Ken leaves first. Wait. No, Mick leaves the band first.
Yeah, Mick leaves the
band. Because they go to the photo shoot, and she can barely contain her contempt. Mm-hmm. And then Mick's like, you know what, forget this. This is too, froofy for me. And he mm-hmm. takes off.
Yeah.
And then that's when they hide the heroin, and then Ken leaves.
Yeah, Ken leaves, and that's not the point. He's part of this group. Do yourself a favor, Kate. Ditch him.
Mm-hmm. I have it written down, too. Yeah. And now they're down to the two sellouts and her.
Yeah.
And the sellouts are completely in their element.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what they want. They want back, a record deal. Yep, they want the fame. They want all this stuff.
But it doesn't affect them as it affects her. This is exactly what this was their mm-hmm. goal, and they've made their goal.
Right.
They're laid back. They're happy. They're living the life. Right. She's the one that's getting more and more agitated, more and more upset
as
everything goes by.
Yeah, she definitely is. She does not feel herself. She is not in her element whatsoever. So now we put a face to the radio DJ.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So she goes to see there, and people, do you believe in what you sing about? That was a question mm-hmm. that she got asked. And they were just, she just was aghast at that they even asked her that question. Mm-hmm. She was just, why would you even ask me that? Well, because you're now...
It's different.
It's totally different. Changed. She's like, it's 1984. It's about 1984. Because mm-hmm. they're all about,
mm-hmm. Orwellian.
Orwellian, mm-hmm. yeah. And then so machines are taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I want to sing about now.
But
she did like to talk. She did that in the eight, when she first began as well. But it's different.
It's all different. And it's more corporate sounding. And then mm-hmm. her fan's like, well, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying it's obviously there's a different sound between the early stuff and the new stuff. And she gets more and more agitated. Mm-hmm. And then Danny calls in.
Yes, Danny does call in. Yeah.
And calls her a poser.
That was part I could not hear. Okay. So what did he say?
He just calls her a poser and basically says she sold out and everything. Oh. But the thing was, and I think... Mick and Ken actually point this out to Danny. Danny tried to control Kate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then was upset when the record company did what he couldn't.
Exactly. So the constant theme of this movie was control.
Yes.
Because Kate was in control. Kate was always in control. Mm-hmm. Then when somebody else tried to take over, then she doesn't have the control. And then it's like everybody else wants to control every other situation.
So there's a record signing mm-hmm. at a record store.
Yep.
And Kate basically gets mobbed. And she is not, this is not what she signed up for.
Yeah.
She's very uncomfortable. The next gig is completely sold out. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to leave. And the crowds are jostling her and grabbing at mm-hmm. her. And she feels nothing. She's not excited. Nope. She feels kind of unease and maybe a little bit afraid.
Right.
And they shove her into a car. And people are banging on the windows. And the whole time, the song, I forgot the name of it, is playing over with... And it has the censored lyrics that she completely scoffed at.
Yes, yeah.
Punch him in the nose.
Yeah.
No, or kick him in the nose or whatever.
Yeah, hit him in the nose instead of on the ass. Yeah. That's what it says. Liz, that's what my notes say. But I can't read my handwriting or hear, so we're fine.
Okay.
So they're talking about, so we're at the next gig.
Right, right.
And they're talking about the sold out gig, and they're talking about how she's going to introduce a new, Kate is going to introduce a new style today.
Yes. And she keeps taking pills.
Oh yeah. Like these green pills after the other. Yeah. And then she doesn't want to go on. And so she goes out and then she tells them,
but the crowd's chanting becomes murkier and more muffled with every pill she takes.
Exactly.
And she tells them that she doesn't want to go outside or doesn't want to go on stage.
And this is a couple scenes back when Mick and Ken and Danny are all together. Mick does tell him, he's like, she can't go on without a shot.
Right.
So, and without pills, without a shot anymore. So, and that's where we see, this is terrible, but that's where you see a doctor come
in. Dr. Feelgood comes in and gives her the shot. And she doesn't want to. They actually hold her down.
Yeah, they have to hold, and then she's just...
She's a robot. She's become the robot that she originally was mimicking. Yeah. She now is the robot.
Right. And I was at, it was funny because I was talking with Jason about it, and I asked him. He's like, it's probably a vitamin B, like B12 shot. It probably is. You know, just because that's honestly a lot of what, like the golfers take it.
Right.
Tell me golfers take it. Vitamin B for 12, especially the drinkers, apparently. So, well, like professional, because it makes you.
Edie Sedgwick used to go get those once a week. Yeah,
it's very
common.
Common.
Yeah.
5-hour energy is all vitamin B12.
I did not know that. It's
way too much of it, but yes. Wow. So, yeah, Dr. Feelgood comes in, gives her a shot, and then she comes out and she is now a complete robot.
Yes.
Like Tron.
Did you notice that the almost binary flashing red lights behind her at one point spell out help police?
I did see that. Yes. Yep. On the very top. Yeah, I did see that.
And I didn't know if that was her little cry for help or what.
Oh. Or if that and was then she's actually calling for the police. That would be odd because she doesn't like, so,
like the police. Yeah. Goodness. She hates the police.
That's strange. But complete robot. And it's Tron.
This 80s laser light show starts with the fog and then the lasers eyes, and everything.
And it reminded me, just the eyes and everything. And it was just a great song.
Yes, a very
great
song.
But so sad. But then she could still perform. She could still do it even though she doesn't want to go on.
Yes.
Because she's an artist.
Yes.
But she is 100% turned into it.
Did you keep watching the credits?
Mm-mm, I didn't.
Okay, so as the credits roll, there's no music and there's street sounds. And then all of a sudden, her songs fade in and fade back out. And fade in and fade back out. And you hear all this other not extraneous music, but not atmospheric music. What do you call it? Ambient.
Oh, yeah.
You hear a lot of
ambient
music, ambient noises and stuff like that. And then her music, like a song will fade in and fade out, back out. Fade in, fade back out. And then you hear the scream of the boy dying in the riot.
Ooh.
And at the same time, so the credits are just rolling and rolling and rolling. Uh-huh. And then that goes away. And you hear Danny say, "Bastards, I almost had to kill to get in here. I got you a present." And then it's as if he's visiting her in the hospital, as if she has had the nervous breakdown.
Uh-huh. So in between the two times, like the...
No, after.
Oh, wow.
And it's really interesting.
So just noise, no pictures or anything like that?
No, there's no pictures. Yeah, it's over black. Yeah. The credits are rolling. There's like this weird, like I said, ambient noise with like movement and like street noises. Mm-hmm. And then the songs going in and out. And I could not catch the last thing Danny said, though.
Hmm.
And I around it a couple of times, but it just wasn't, it was so muffled and so quiet, I couldn't hear it. And then it was like Paramount or whatever.
How strange.
Ooh, it was really, that's really good. Neat.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to...
I don't think I've ever seen a movie incorporate the credits in such a interesting and creative way push the end of the story, like a little epilogue.
Right. That's just what this movie, like,
it was
totally
so good.
It just completely, it completes the movie then. That was just such a great movie.
It was very good.
I recommended like 3 people today to watch it. I'm not even kidding.
It's hard to find though.
It is. That's the other thing. That's terrible.
I mean, I had to go get it off of Amazon.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
Some days
you can get it on you can rent it on YouTube.
I did see that. Yeah, yes. I did see that because I was looking when I,
and we do recommend it. It is a very good film.
Oh, it's a very good film. It's just really, it shows you just, I don't know, it just, I really thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
So I've been very bad in the past about giving out our contact information at the end of the podcast, so I'm sorry about that. So if you want to email us, you can reach us at themobiflix@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter at @Moby_Flicks. So if you just want to get in touch with us, say how much you think we're awesome and love us, or we suck and, you know, well, actually, if you think we suck, you're just going to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
But anyway, or if you want to suggest any movies that you think we should check out.
Yeah.
Especially we've decided on the next three films. Mm-hmm. But we want to do one more punk rock film. So if you have any suggestions for punk rock films that you'd like to hear us review, mm-hmm. feel free to drop us a line or tweet at us. And then also, because the next season will be coming up pretty quick, any Nicolas Cage films that you would like us to talk about.
We might have a few, so.
Yes, I'm actually even thinking about doing on our on Moby underscore Flicks Ooh. On Twitter. They have... an option to do polls, and mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing like brackets. Oh, yeah.
So like, there's so many.
There's so many. Oh, there's so many, and there's no way we can do all of them.
No.
And so just, you know, do the whole bracket thing where you mm-hmm. just, you know, Nicolas Cage film fight kind of thing.
Oh, Face Off.
Yes.
Ooh.
Ish.
Yeah. The first thing I see, it's just because of the going into way too many movie stores and seeing that cover.
Yes.
With the Face Off. That's the first thing I see. So.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I'm Lizanne.
And I'm Maggie.
And we're Moby Flicks.